Good evening. The story has recently gone round. It seems from a very reliable source. Going back to the days of the Kinder transport, Shlomo Schoenfeld was known that he had a ward in Leicester. That was it. That he had a few of the places that he Kinder transported in Sheffield. Thank you very much. That's right. In Sheffield, yes, the boys were young children who were rescued from the Nazi occupied countries. They end up going in those places where he looked after them. There's lots of incredible stories about what Dr. Schoenfeld managed to pull off there. One story is reported there was at one particular occasion, the Minister of Exterior Affairs, that was it called? The Minister of Foreign Affairs, thank you very much. I saw the name, it was written on the... I forgot his name. He was to visit that particular place with all the hundreds of children were there, and Dr. Schoenfeld prepared them in advance. What's your shaykhus? You have got... You just happen to know. And he prepared the boys in advance. The one was the boys and the girls, and they prepared them Shabbos clothes, and it was quite an event that the minister was going to come. And they were told, obviously, to be very, very quiet. He was going to come in his motorcade with his fancy black car, old-fashioned black car, going back to the early 1940s, obviously. And he was going to drive, but he was going to be quiet and wave some flags. And the very unexpected happened that as he was driving past very, very slowly, one of the boys jumped out of the row of the line, and he went in front of the positioned himself in front of the car of the foreign minister, and he jumped out. It was a bit of a shock and everything, and this boy burst out crying and screaming, and he says, what does it help for me to be saved over here? I was saved through the Kinder transport, and it's very nice. But what's the point of that? Because my parents are still both my parents are still in the Gehenna in Germany, and what's the point of me just having a visa and being allowed out, whilst my parents are in Sekhonis Nefoshes there, and they're not getting a visa to be allowed into the country? And he screams out and he cries out, and obviously Dr. Schoenfeld, who's not far by the time, goes and he's very apologetic. He's sorry that I'm so, such a really sorry. You know, this is all really about Akosa Toiv and gratitude to the English to the government, and it's all about Akosa Toiv really. And he jumps out and starts screaming at the minister, and he's really embarrassed. He says, "I'm really sorry. We're gonna." And the minister says, "No, actually, leave it to me." Well, he asks, "What's your name?" And the boy says the name, and he says, "Where exactly are you from?" And he tells him some town in Germany. And he says, "Okay, fine." And then it's fine. And that's all he says. And he goes back into the car, and they shove it away, and the motorcade continues. The minister then goes home, and he makes his research. And this is a true story. And he finds out that, yes, indeed, this boy's parents are still behind in Germany. And whilst he got from the Kinder transport, he was allowed to be rescued. His parents did not get a visa, and they were still in Germany. And with obviously, as a minister, he was able to authorize a couple of visas, and he did send visas down to Germany to save those, and they were saved. They got the visas sent, and they were saved, and they made it to England. So Shlomo Schoenfeld was quoted in saying that it was a tremendous limud hask, especially when it comes to the Yom Nehurim. He said, in what way was he different than all the other children there? All the children there, pretty much all of them, by definition, their parents were still in Nazi occupied countries. German or Austrian parents, and they were all there. So what made him different than anybody else? Why were his parents saved as opposed to pretty much all of them? Exactly. That's the point. He was the only one who begged and screamed and cried, and because he did, his parents were saved. So Shlomo Schoenfeld said, and Rabbi Dunna speaks about it in his, he said that's what Shlomo Yom Kippur is all about, really. Elul is all about crying out for help to Rebbeinu Shlomo. If you don't cry, you ain't gonna get. If you don't daven, you ain't gonna get. And it's all about realizing the potential of, if we, this is the Melech Malchim Lachim, not just the minister of boss of a dom of flesh and blood, but this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we ask and we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can get tremendous issues out of this. This was, and apparently it's a story that is reported as being absolutely, absolutely accurate. Okay, we're still in El Chazboira. I hope to be reaching, perhaps we're able to complete it either tonight or tomorrow night. We're up to page 284, which is Simon Chinyu Tes and Tezvav. As an introduction, I wanted to speak about the tea essence. The tea essence and the tea bag, Shaila, which Asod Ech Shabbos and Olav Shnei Mezalman also discusses. Rabbi Yisai, I will not discuss now the Shaila of putting tea bags in boiling water, in a Kli Rishon, in a Kli Sheni, or Kli Shlishi, whilst this is the Shaila on its own, and let's assume that it is also, yes, there is an interesting Moshe who holds that a tea bag in a Kli Shlishi is Mutter, but that's not what we paskin, and that's very controversial, and it's very hard to understand his Moshe. But we're assuming that tea bags in any hot water, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, or Kli Shlishi is also. So imagine the person prepared the tea essence before Shabbos, and he had the tea bags in the Kli Rishon before Shabbos, and he kept it like this. But however, he failed to take out the tea bags before Shabbos. So the tea bags are still in that water in Shabbos, as Shabbos comes in. And now he wants to use that tea essence on Shabbos. The way he wants to do it, very obviously, he's got sufficient tea essence there for a good few cups. And the way he wants to use this in by putting a bit of that tea essence in other cups. Is that how we do it? Pretty much. Shaila is now the Shaila of?
Schita and
Boira. Boira as well. I'm going to leave out Schita Shaila, that's correct. There's a Schita element in it, which we're going to discuss at a later point. But at this point, there's a Shaila of Boira as well. Because Boira indeed. Because what is the Shaila of Boira? Because what you want really, exactly, what you want is a tea essence, and you do want to keep the tea bag behind. So this is a type of boira. And is this considered oichometach pfeles, which will be also. Or maybe not.
Surely there must be loads of ways to do it.
You're pouring your good tea away from the tea bag.
Uh-huh. What's wrong? So you're saying that it's oichometach pfeles? You're saying that it is boira, but it's all permitted. Very good. The answer is you're right. You're not using a keli.
You
are. What's the keli?
The cup.
The cup is not considered a keli. We discussed that a keli is something which is utilized for separation and not for drinking and eating. Hence, this is not considered a keli as far as boira is concerned. You're doing it biyad and miyad, and therefore it's mutter. However, one thing needs to be kept in mind, and that is why I'm mentioning it now. We mentioned last year that Siv Yudala taught us that when you're pouring from one cup to the other, you've got to make sure that it's not completely reduced to the psoilis behind and the oichel in the other cup. That's pretty much what Siv Yudala taught us. So you have to ensure that you're pouring a little bit, you're pouring as much as you're pouring, it's fine, but you have to ensure that you don't literally keep the bag behind, which is the psoilis and the oichel there. The Shulchan Aruch taught us earlier that you have to make sure that there's a bit of drink left behind, and only that's the way to do it. Yeah, so you have to make sure that whilst you are allowed to pour over the tea essence into another cup and leaving the tea bag behind, it is mutter, but at the same time you have to also make sure that there is liquid remaining behind. And this really is going to be of essential importance when we're going to see if you tezayin literally in a minute. Okay, see if Tezvav tells us Mesanenet Shanosan Bachata Lesananoi. Now this is a part of this is something which I have very little understanding. All I know about this is what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, so please don't challenge the technical aspect, which I'm the physical aspect, or the chemical aspect, which I'm not fully so what this is about making mustard. Rabbi, how do you make mustard? How do you make mustard?
Mustard seeds.
Very good. Good. So now, that's right, you use mustard seeds. So what it says over here, he needs a filter. So what it is mesananes, you have a filter, you've got mustard, and you're using a filter to sift through the mustard. Mesananes, a filter, you've put in it, chadel, mustard, to filter it through. Now the best way to do it is because there's part of the mustard which you do want to use, And it's part of the masjid which is meant to stay behind. I'm not sure what part of that is, but it's some part of the masjid which is good, and some of the masjid seeds which are producing good masjid. I don't know what part of this. There's within the masjid. So now, you know, in the best way to filter it, it's not just part of having a filter, but also you put an egg there. An egg absorbs the parts of the masjid which you don't want. That's part of the eggs. The egg does that. So mesanenes, a filter, shenasen b'chad alesanana, you're putting a chad ale mustard to filter the mustard. Motelit nabobet, so you're allowed to put an egg there in the sieve, in the filter. Afalpi, although shachel mon yored lemato im a chad ale, the egg yolk will go down with a chad ale, with the mustard down. Vachel boi nisha lemalo, and the other parts of the egg will absorb the part of the masjid which is not meant to go down. So the egg will actually support the separation process, and that is mutter. So again, you want to separate the masjid, you don't just do it by having a filter, but you're also putting an egg there. And the egg is going to help the separation process. Please don't ask me why. Maybe you can explain the chemical aspect of it. But it's a chemical process which is taking place by having an egg there. So part of the good part of the mustard is going to be filtered through. That's what you want. The bad part of the mustard is kept behind by the egg. This is mutter. The question is, why is it mutter? Surely this is a part of boira. The Mishnah Berurah explains that it is because you don't really want it. Mishnah Berurah's words is, it says because you do kidei liyapois mare achadl. It's done for the beautification of the chadl, for the looks of the chadl of the mustard, and therefore it's permitted. Okay, and it's a bit of a chiddush, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch is mechadash over here. Save Tezan, yeah.
Doesn't it say you should do this erev Shabbos? Shabbos also the chadl alei de mesanenes.
Yes, but you're putting the egg in on Shabbos. You're right. This is the chadl putting to actually put it all on Shabbos would be also, but to put him at the egg, placing the egg in on Shabbos.
So you just understand what's happening. So you've already filtered. You basically you've got a sieve on Erev Shabbos. You've filtered the mustard seed, and on Shabbos
it's not fully sieved though. It's true that you have put it in the filter on Erev Shabbos, but it's not properly happening without the egg, which you're placing on Shabbos.
But why can't you do that on
Shabbos? You should indeed, because you can't
do it. How is it mutter given that it's a kli miyuchad?
So the Mishnah Berurah says, the words of Mishnah Berurah is, Roi tzeloyim aveinu emid l'achil, afal piken, loy choshev kaboy roiluch metoch psoiles, daaf t'achel mun shemissan elinu b'shvil l'achil, rak kedei liyapo yismari achardel. So the words of the Torah, that is to be miyape, and therefore it's mutter. I don't fully understand it. It's something which Achonim are also discussing. Why does it make it mutter? It seems to be that since it's liyapo is only, he makes it mutter. Lemaisa, you see that the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah points out, if you want to eat it, then it's not going to be machmir, it's proper to be machmir. So this is only for the looks of it, for the appearance of it. If you're actually doing it to eat it, then it would be also, because you're right, it's going to be, it would be through a clean, it would be also. Okay. Safe design is a famous taz. Okay, safe design. Maim sheyesh boim toloim. If you've got water that has toloim, yes, or any insects, in fact. Yes, you've got toloim, worms, or any insects which have gone into the water. Motali shtoison, you're allowed to drink it. Water with insects, you're allowed to drink it when? Alidei mapo b'shabbos. You obviously don't want to drink those insects. So what you're putting is a mapo, is a kind of cloth, a kind of material. And what's the material going to help? It's going to sieve it. Why? So why is it mutter? If it's going to sieve it, it's going to keep behind the insects in the sieve, and the clean water is going to go through. Why is that okay? To loy shaych boir meshamer, because we don't say that it's boir and filtering. Hello, mesakin in kodim achilo ishtia. Because when we only say that it's an issa boir, but mesakin in when we are fixing the issue, kodim achilo ishtia before eating or drinking. Avol, but in beshas ishtia, if when you're actually drinking, ma'akev is a psoilis, during the drinking process, you are keeping the psoilis behind, sholei kanes letoich piv, that it's not, when you're holding back the, when you're holding back the insects, you're doing a beira during your action of drinking, that is not entering your mouth, it's not considered a melacha, it's beira muta and it's muta. So, what the Mishnah is saying, that what you're doing is, you have a drink over here, which has got insects inside it. What are you going to do about those insects? So Shulchan Aruch says, what you're allowed to do is you're going to have this glass, and you're putting on the glass, you're putting a kind of cloth or material. On top of it, easiest way, you want to make it absolutely... And now, can I just have this cup for a minute? Something in it? Good. Okay, so imagine this is a cup of water, and there's a couple of insects in it. Flying, a fly, and a... whatever it is, that spider, you name it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, it's full of this water. Now, in order to drink it, how am I going to say protect myself from boira? How am I going to protect myself? So, the Shulchan Aruch is not mechadesh. You are allowed to do the following. You can take a mapa, which is a cloth or material, and you're placing it over here, not very dense. It's like you can still drink through it. You're putting it over the cup, and now you're going to drink it. Very obviously, the insects are going to stay behind. They're going to be held back through the filter, through the material. And you're drinking like this. Now the question, of course, is, why is this mutter? Surely this is beira. This is the absolute perfect beira. And this is that you've got a keli. It's true, it's Orchem Dachpsoilis, but this is a keli. Because the keli over here is the filter, it's a proper filter. It's the material is keeping the insects behind.
Well, because you need to do it because it's food. And you can take off wrapping on top as well.
Yeah? So the Shulchan Aruch is mechadesh. A huge chiddush. That there is, when he comes, it's a very mamash big chiddush. That if it's b'shashtia, any action you're doing during eating, when it's not in preparation of eating or in preparation of drinking, but if it is during the eating process, when you're physically drinking or eating, that is not considered boira. That's achila, and therefore it's muta. So, you would have thought perhaps that since you're putting a material on top of the cup, that it's boira. No, it's not boira. It's true, it's a keli. But since you're eating, this is an action of eating, and not an action of filtering, therefore it's mutter. I'm reading the words of Shulchan Aruch again.
You're drinking after the...
Yeah, but it's part of it. When I'm lifting the cup, and I'm lifting it up, and I'm actually drinking, that's when the boira process is actually happening, and that is... And that's not considered boira, because you're drinking. What you're doing is drinking. What would you say... Would you say that it's a boira because of your teeth? I'm a bit radical now, but just to explain a bit. Would you say that the teeth is... or the lips are doing an action of boira? Obviously not, because... It's not a keli, right, okay, fair enough. But, yeah, so we're extending this now. We're saying that anything that is preparation, that, anything which is in preparation of eating and drinking, when you are drinking, that's when you are doing the Orchem Tach Psoiles, that's when you're doing the action of boira, it's helping you from not getting to the mouth. Let me read you the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Nun Tes speaks about the libun aspect, which we're going to leave out. That's the chiddush over here. Now, good. Okay. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah now is giving a mechadish a very great chiddush, which is perhaps one of the most fundamental heterim in Hilchos Boira. And it's very controversial as well, because nobody agrees to that. But it's perhaps the most famous heter in Boira is what? Perhaps the most famous heter, which we haven't spoken about. In Boira, perhaps the most famous heter. Okay, you've got a fly in your drink. Oh. Right, so normally, If you've got a cup, you've got a fly in your drink, a fly in your cup, normally by taking out the fly out of the drink, would that, would your understanding be that it's not also, based on what we've learned so far?
Also.
What would you say? And therefore, also, you'd say that it's probably boiled in the rice. Again, if you've got a zvuv, if you've got a fly in your drink, you'd normally say, based on what we've learned now, taking the fly out of the drink, that's taking the psoilus, assuming that you don't want the fly, the psoilus mitoich oichel, which is also, forget about keli, forget about miyad, it's psoilus mitoich oichel, which is also probably mitoich rice. Good. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, that there is a heter. And the heter is, the heter is that if you, one second, I'll read you the words. I'm reading words of Cotton Samach Aleph. Hello, Ms. Sakin. When you have a fly that fell into your drink or your food, do not take it out, whether with your hand or with a keli. Because what you're doing is you're doing boiler. So don't take the fly out of your drink. Hello, but, and here comes the, here it comes, here it's coming. Hold on tight, put on your seatbelt. Hello, yikach ktsas, kamea meichel. Take also a little bit of the drink. What you are allowed to do, instead of, yes, you're right, you're not allowed to take the fly out of the drink, because that's, but, take a spoon, and take with, insert the spoon into the drink, and take a little bit of the apple juice together with the fly. Don't just take the fly, but with your spoon, take a bit of the drink, and therefore it's mutter. Why? The Mishnah Berurah's words is that if you're taking a bit of the fruit and the drink out, then it's not considered boir and it's mutter. So therefore, Rabbi said, we're having a chiddush over here. That whenever you have a fly in the, it doesn't have to be a fly, it could be any other. What else can it be? Something maybe slightly more appetizing? You have something that fell into the soup. Yeah, perhaps, that's right, yeah. Very good, yeah, very good. So what you want to do is you can't just take that out, because that's boira. But what you are allowed to do is you are allowed to take a bit of the oichel together with the psoilus, and that's mutter. Rabbi said this is a very big chiddush. It's a huge chiddush, and a controversial chiddush as well. Why is it chiddush? Why would you have said that it's not awesome?
You said there's an element of loophole to it. You're only taking a bit of the good out.
And more than that, you could even say that. Hold on a sec. At the end of the day, it's completely nivrar. It's sieved. What was your intention? To take the fly out? Okay, it's out. What was your intention? To separate good from bad? Well, it's separated. It is separated. It's true. I've also taken some of the good. I've also taken some of the oichel. But at the end of the day, it is nivra. It is
aroma.
Yes, it's the concept of aroma, and I would say even before aroma, I would say it's even boiler to some extent, because you've really sieved it. You have sieved it. You have filtered it. It happens to be you also took some oichel as well. But what's the difference if I just take the fly out of the drink, or I take the fly with a spoon with a bit of drink as well? At the end of the day, it's sieved. It's filtered.
You haven't done boyer because you still have a tyrobus here.
Yeah.
And so you haven't taken the good
from
the bad or the bad from the good.
Yeah.
You've still got a tyrobus of good and bad.
Yeah, good. Okay, so Lemay Saraboy said, what I've stated is clearly the machloikas Mishnah Berurah Chazanish. And it's one of the very famous, perhaps the biggest and most essential machloikas in Hilchos Boira. Mishnah Berurah holds, whenever you have a tyrobus, you are allowed to take some of the psoilus. You're allowed to take the psoilus together with some of the oichel, and thereby you can do that. You can take the fly out with some drink, and that's fine. According to Mishnah Berurah, it is fine. Chaznish disagrees, and he says that doesn't work. He doesn't actually use the word haroma. He seems to be more essentially disturbed by the boira aspect of it, and he said it's boira. At the end of the day, it's boira. But lemaisa, because technically what you've done is you've taken good from bad. You've taken bad from good. Who cares? You've also taken some good as well. At the end of the day, you've taken bad from good. That's Chazon Ish's tannis. But the Ma'aseh Minhag HaOlam is, I think, very, very much to be made like the Mishnah. But whilst there is plenty of people who are machmir on the Chazon Ish as well, where else can this case be relevant? It is very relevant.
With the tea sense.
Tea sense.
Because when you're pouring out and you're leaving the
tea. Yeah. When you're, that's right. Absolutely, yeah.
If you've got, let's say, a piece of lamb chops, you've got fat.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, such a good example. Very, very good. Did everybody hear the example? I think it's a really good example. Yes, yeah, so if you've got... Yes, if you have got a bit of the fat, which you don't want, you don't want to eat it.
Or a bone.
Yes.
Could you rely on the, you know your previous principle about at the time of the eating?
Yeah.
Can you rely on that heta to cut off a bit of the fat or the bone as you're about to put it in your mouth? Or is that extending the... You know the previous heta you described around the... With the filtering of the flies.
I don't know. It's generally used. This is it's generally used when you're still, it's still in the plate. Then I would say no, it's not comparable. It's compared to if you put something in the mouth and you're taking it out of the mouth, kind of thing.
So these are easy to separate the fat from the meat if you want to be choshes of the chazan ish is to do it in your mouth.
Yeah. But the ma'aser, you've got good company. If you are paid, according to Mishnah Berurah, what Mr. Berlin is suggesting. You could easily take a bit of the meat. Yeah, that's fine. That is really perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine. Rabbi Yisrael, I don't know if it's comparable or not. Shlomo Zalman wanted to ask, what happens if you've got the cork that fell into the wine? Cork into the wine. I mean, whenever I'm useless, it always goes like into pieces. You know, the cork into pieces. I can't, I don't know. It doesn't work with me. It like breaks into 1,000. Or you've got even a Coke bottle that fell into the and you want to fish out the lid or the cork. I think the cork is really good of the wine. You're allowed to do this, yes or no? It's floating nicely. Wouldn't happen to you, I'm sure.
What's the cork? It has happened.
Really? Oh, thank you. You make me feel a lot better. Yeah. So the shayla is, are you allowed to...
It's good bottles of whiskey. I can picture each time it's happened in my head, but never forget it. I wish I could remember my learning as much as I can. Those
how did he get it out?
Terrific occasions of Balfashis. Yeah.
How did he get it out?
You don't get it all out. You just, you have to live with it. You have to live with the consequences of it. It's painful.
Okay. Sieving it. Okay, so if you can sieve it on Matzah Shabbos, that's fine. If you can, if you're somehow able to remove it, you've got like a nice thing, and you're actually able to pick it and take it out. Say, if, you know, you have some keli that, some tool, you know, you can just, actually can just fish it out with your hands. Would you be able to do this, yes or no? So the answer is that it would be obviously, which would be also. However, how would it be motivated to do it? Exactly. Take some of the whiskey. Take some of the wine or the whiskey, and then it's going to be water. So that's the dead sea. So it's again, if you have any psoilus that you want to remove from a liquid, a permitted way of doing so is by taking some of the liquid with, and therefore it's going to be water. A lid floating in the, how can it be a lid in a drink? What would be a case? A lid. Imagine a bottle lid.
Very good.
I saw this in Achr Shabbos. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. The pips. Yeah, so peeling is a little bit different, but okay, the pips maybe, they remind me of the pips, the pip shell is good. If you want to remove the pips of any melon or something like that, you just don't want to eat them, you want to remove them, so that's obviously, it's psoilus mitach oichel. But if you really makbet, what you can do, based on what we're learning now, according to Mishnah Berurah, what could you do? You take some of the fruit as well. Again, Chazon Ish doesn't like it, and there is quite a large controversy within it, but this is clearly what the Mishnah Berurah holds. You can do that. Mishnah Berurah says, "Yikach ktsas me'amaychel o yamashke imoy v'yizroik." You may do so. I mean, I can hear why people don't like it. I can hear why some people feel that it grates on their conscience. I can hear it. it feels a bit like, feels a bit wrong, you know, because imagine you're just like, you're doing it, it feels a bit wrong. But Lamaisa, it's fine. Yeah.
Is there any difference between dry and liquid flour in this case? Like taking liquid with a fly or a fork is one thing. Let's say something fell into the salt. And you want to take it out of the salt?
I don't think so, because I don't think it's a chilek, because Mishtabura says, "May chaloy mashke," and it sounds like there's no difference. It would appear that there's no difference. Will be a case.
I don't know. You had the element collection, and you dropped some color into your liquid. Nitrogen, then it quickly turned into gas. You're allowed to take.
Oh, that, I'm not sure.
I think that's not so relevant.
Okay, so that's, Lamaisa, this is an important Mishnah Berurah to remember, very important Mishnah Berurah to remember. There is poskim who don't like this heter when it comes to a few flies. Here, poskim become very, I don't know what you think about it. Imagine there's a few flies in there. Imagine there's 2-3 flies in there. The Mishnebu says that's going to be a bit. That's the poskim one says even according to Mishnebu, it would be also to remove the flies with the drink, because that's not really considered. It's more absurdist than oichel. But that again is a bit of a tzorchin. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Where is the Taz? It's a Taz. It is a Taz. In Sharitzin, Sifkot Nun Dalet, it's quoted as Taz v'Sha'a Achroinim. In Sharitzin. No, the source of this Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Samach Aleph is a Taz. It's known as the Taz's Chiddush. Oh, very nice. Yeah, that's a nice one. That's a very nice one. Wow. That's really nice. The Chiddush of the Taz in Sif Tezayin. Very good. Okay, yeah, but you'll see that it's quoted in Mishnah Berurah, Sharet Zion, Sifkot Nun Dalet. Okay, we spoke initially about the filtering of the mustard. And we said that the eggs is more to put to insert into the filtering process, although despite the fact that it will support the sieving, it is mutter to do that. Mutter dit in Mabetza. Then we moved on to Sif Tezayin, which has two very, very grand chidushim. Chidush number one is the fact you're allowed to put a cloth or material on top of your cup when you're drinking, although that's going to keep back the flies, because that's called achila and shtia, and that's not considered boya. That's mutter. The second chidush was the taz. In Sifkot and Samach Aleph, that is mechadesh that if you take some psoles together with oichel, that will not be considered my sabur and his mutter. And yeah, that's the chiddush of the Taz. Okay, good evening, Abba Yisrael.